it's all because of you. You suggested it, and then somebody else picked up on it. Now they're forcing me to do it. I can't believe it. And if I mess it up,
good morning. I'm your worship leader this morning, and as well as your preacher. We have done it a few times a number of years ago. Good to see you and welcome. And some of you set your clocks up, and some others probably did not, but maybe they'll be with us next week. Good to see all of you. Good to be with you. We have, first we need to do some announcements and look at some announcements in your bulletin. You find some a whole insert. We call it 4 pages or 2 pages. Do you have any announcements to add? Yes, sir. Youth fundraiser, yes, ma'am. Rounding up what? Oh, volunteer. I thought you said battle peers. Okay. Yes, Debbie. Christian Ed meets tonight at 4:30. Okay. The session will meet tonight. That was left out of the bulletin. The retirees went to eat last Wednesday, so we're not going back this Wednesday. I mean, I'm sure everybody will eat, even retirees, but we're not going as a group from the church. We haven't found a perfect bulletin yet. That's what Sam keeps looking for one. Sam is preaching at Cowan, Tennessee today. That's east of Winchester. East of Winchester. I think on Highway 64. I've been asked to mention Easter sunrise. Easter sunrise is Easter morning, which is April the 4th. The service will be at 6 o'clock. Patrick is going to speak. We have some special things planned for the 6 o'clock hour. 7:15, we'll have breakfast in the gymnasium, and then at 8 o'clock, we'll worship again, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock Sunday school, 10:15 worship. We're adding breakfast and the sunrise service at 6 o'clock. And that is April the 4th. We call that to your attention. Wednesday, we have hamburgers and fries and slaw and baked beans. Please sign up. It helps to know how many hamburgers to cook if you do that. We have other announcements. Don't want to drag them out. Okay. We have one first-time guest that we know about, Jerry Ann Calvin, the back pew over here. Welcome, Jerry Ann, we bet. And she says, okay to mention her name, okay? Okay. Other first-time visitors? Okay. Our guest? Prayer concerns. We believe we saw a miracle in Miss May Puckett. She is in a rehab center right now and improving. And 3 weeks ago on Friday night, we didn't think she'd live through the night. So lift Anna up and continue to lift up Miss Puckett. Both Alamores, Steve and Joyce, are sick today. Harold Schaefer is sick today. And when they miss church, they're sick, all three of them. So lift them up in your prayers. Other people to add to the prayer list. I do know that Melanie just returned from visiting her mother. She went on Thursday, came back last night. Welcome back, Melanie. And any report on Mom?
Looks great.
Any others? Ms. Wagner? Struggling? Okay. Doing pretty good. Anybody else? Great. God is with us. He has promised to be with us wherever we meet in His name. But let's acknowledge His presence. Would you bow your heads? Will you stand with me? If you notice, there is kind of a good movement from the call to worship right into the first song. And hopefully the entire service will flow in that way. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
Love is everlasting.
Come, let us praise God joyfully.
Come to Him, thanksgiving.
For the church into which we have been called, for the good news we receive by word and sacrament, for our life together in the Lord.
We praise You, Lord God.
For Your Holy Spirit, who guides our steps and brings us gifts of faith and love.
We praise You, God.
Above all, O God, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again, for our salvation, for our hope in Him, and for the joy of serving Him.
We thank and praise You, God our Father, for all Your goodness to us.
Let's sing together, I Just Came to Praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise His holy
I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to thank the Lord. I just came to thank the Lord. I just came to praise His holy name. I just came to thank the Lord. I just came to love the Lord. I just came to love the Lord. I just came to praise His holy name. I just came to love the Lord.
Lord God, we come to praise You through music. We come to praise You through prayer, and we offer our prayer of praise now, O God, thanking You and expressing our appreciation before You for the many things that You have done for us. Lord, Your Scripture revealed in the call to worship tells us so much about what You have done. And especially do we come to say thank You for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Lord, we thank You for Your Spirit that enabled us to believe, that moved in our hearts and our minds and even called us to see our need for You and to understand that You are our help throughout life and for eternity. As we have assembled in Your name, Lord, speak to us and allow us to speak to You and bring joy to Your being. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If you will, turn in your hymnal to 716. I believe we're having some technical difficulties, as we used to hear on the radio with the screen. And 716, our creed, and then we will sing together our appreciation through the Gloria. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Let us worship through special music presented by Ed Wittenberg.
Psalmist tells us that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I invite you to pray with me this printed prayer of confession, and it follows the temptation of Jesus as we find in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4. Let us pray. Our temptations, O Lord, are the very tests that come to you to be relevant, to be powerful, to be spectacular. We may not be asked to turn stones into bread, or to be in control of vast kingdoms, or to throw ourselves down from a tall spire, and yet your temptations are the very ones that we face. Where we have listened to other voices, forgive us. Where we have sought the applause of others, forgive us. For we have worshipped other gods, forgive us. Give us purity of heart and clarity of vision. Help us hear your voice, to seek your kingdom and its righteousness, to worship you alone. In the name of the one who was tested in every respect as we are, and yet knew no sin, even Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. And amen. The assurance is also a prayer. Prayer of thanks. We thank you, God, for the good news that we may approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find help in our time of need. Amen. And let's think about the forgiveness of God at the cross. At the cross. 188. At the cross, my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for Christ that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by sight. I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day. What is written to one group or spoken to one group may rightly be applied to another group. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, the Christians there, a lot that we can take and we should take for our own experience before God, experience in life. One of the things that he said to the Corinthians, it is required of stewards that they may be found trustworthy. God has allowed us to be stewards of his great earth, his creation, and we are called upon to be trustworthy or faithful in our stewardship. One of his calls is to return a portion of what He has entrusted us with for His work in the community and around the world. And at this time, we will worship with our tithes and offerings as the ushers will come forward. Let us pray. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Please be seated. Acts chapter 2, verse 42-47, followed by 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8-11. New Testament church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need, as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The Word of God for the people of God.
Page 80. I love the Lord tonight. I can't help but think about what Patrick shared. Nolan auditioned for that group and made the group. Larry and I went to supper with him, and I spent most of the night talking to that young girl that he was talking about. Wonderful human being. And we should continue to pray for her. It didn't sound very good. Thank God for blue. Yeah, I was thinking that too. That's kind of where I was going.
And a pearl.
And a pearl. Let's do that. Lord, we, as smart as we think we are, sometimes we understand absolutely nothing at all. And in a moment like this, it's one of those. I understand absolutely nothing about it. The whys and all that. But Lord, we had a chance to get to know this young lady and pearl. And just what a wonderful Spirit put in her, and a wonderful gift to serve you. And, she made an impression on all of us, and we care about what happens to her. And so, right now, we lift her up to you. We know that regardless of the outcome, that you still have her in your arms. Either way, we know that. But obviously, Lord, we want to pray for healing first. Because we don't understand. If there's a plan bigger than what we can understand, we will accept it. But we bring it to you because we know you're able. And if it is your will, we know that you can restore her health and restore her to serving you. And so we lift up her family and her and all of her friends and all those that have known her for just a little while and comfort all of us. And know, regardless, that you are Lord and you are in control. And we're grateful, Lord, that we have you to come to, that you have made a way so that not even death can separate us from you. We lift her up now in a pearl, Lord, to you. And then we pray with your will that you would heal her completely and let it be a testament to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing to him now. Thank you.
The young lady is from Bolivar, Tennessee, I believe, I remember. And that's a long way for her folks to travel to the Fort Worth, Dallas area. So lift them up in prayer also. And the college campus. She's been there for, I think, 6 years. She got a degree and went back and got another degree, I think, just so she could sing with the group. And I think she was working on a third degree. Is that right? Do you remember that, Ted? We learned all that night as we fellowshiped together. Oh. We should have a children's message. Could we have? Do we have a children's message? Do we have any children this morning? Are they all asleep? Now there's one, two. How many children? Thank you. I forgot. Three. Okay. I'm sorry, Miss Andrea. Don't know how we missed that, but we did. And she has children's church. Okay. Come ahead. Yeah. We're ready. We did. I just forgot. Wendell, do you want to bring grandson and sit with him? You can come and sit with him, granddaddy. Okay? Three girls. When he's about 15, he'll enjoy that. But right now, he don't.
From the Lord. So if we think about that, And whatever we're doing to the glory of the Lord, then it's all going to be okay. So, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, it says, Jesus said, and he was talking to the rich young ruler, but Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, which we're never going to be here on this earth, but we don't need to strive to be, because we want to be like Christ. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. And it's very true. Share what you have. Give it away. Let it help others. Because that's what Christ is having to do. And you'll be made. It'll come back to you in the moment. It's just amazing.
Joy, 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 down in my heart, down in my heart, I got the joy, 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 down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. Miss Jennifer, going with the children, if you'd like to go with her. Have you ever felt that you were in the, you were the only one around that were Christian? And maybe you was fighting the battle by yourself? If it is a battle, you were trying to live the life by yourself? Well, that's not the case. We have a lot of support being a Christian. But we're called on to support one another. And that's basically the gist of the sermon today. Some sermons are challenging people to do something. Some sermons are educational to teach. And maybe some sermons are to affirm what people are doing, at least part of the congregation. And if you are a part of this congregation and are not serving others as well as God, maybe it will be a challenge to you to get involved in serving. Who likes to go back in time? Do you ever go back in time? I guess I forgot my display, or my, what do you call it when you have something that you show, my show and tell this morning. I thought about bringing a Rolodex in here. Can you think with me and flipping through to certain names? But if you took a Rolodex and put dates on it, you could flip back through time to a certain time. But the brain is strange. I've learned that. My brain is strange, and you've probably been thinking that. It's good that I finally figured it out, but that's okay. And my brain, it goes every which way. And even when I'm asleep, I think it just keeps bouncing around. But it goes forward, it goes to where we are, and then it goes backwards. You like to go back Sometimes I like to, and sometimes I wish I didn't have to. Because I go back to some things I wished, I thought I had forgotten and been forgiven, and the devil says, are you sure you're forgiven of that? And I keep saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Be gone, Satan. Resist him, and he'll flee. It happened this week that I went back in time. I'm glad I could go back there. Went back to the early 60s. I think I've told this before. In my memory, kind of, my vague memory, I've told it more than once, and possibly more than once in the same place to the same people. But I went back to Bethel College in pre-1965. Or it could have been spring 65, but pre-graduation of 65. But that's when I left. We were having different groups to come in for assembly. And part of it was preaching and devotional. Sometimes it would be a preacher come in. And I still remember some of the emphasized points of some of the sermons from way back then. But sometimes it was a group to entertain. And this was a group from the black high school. Yes, we had black high school and white high school back then, even in McKenzie, Tennessee. And it was Webb School, McKenzie, Tennessee. That was the black high school there then. And they had a choir. And they came to Bethel to sing at assembly time. And they sang, No Man is an Island. And I think of that often. The person singing it, there was a soloist, but I also thought of it at length this week. Think of that. No person, no individual is alone. We are not an island unto ourselves. We are interconnected to other people. This is the Joan Baez song of, I guess, the early 60s. I'm not sure when it was written. But the first verse is, no man is an island. You could say no person is an island. So just when I say man, inject person, or no woman is an island, whatever you'd like to do. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. And this is in keeping with what the Apostle Paul said concerning the church. And he described the church as being somewhat like a human body with the various body parts, and the church is made up of many parts. And he even goes so far as to say, if a part of the body, my physical body, hurts, it affects all the rest of the parts of the body. And he was trying to say, if part of the church, if a member of the church is in pain, it affects all of us. It has an effect on us. We're connected. But if one is experiencing joy, we can rejoice with them. And he said, that's what this song says in that first verse. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. We need one another. So I will defend. Each man is my brother. Each man is my friend. And then, I won't read them all. No man is an island. But way out in the blue, we all look to the one above for our strength to renew. And when I help my brother, then I know that I plant the seed of friendship that will never die. We're not alone. We have connections with others of like mind and like person. Life as a Christian, or living the life of a Christian, is a two-sided relationship or a two-sided situation. Being a Christian, need I say, but I will anyway, is a relationship between a person and God through Jesus Christ.
Christians have a relationship with God. But we are not alone in our relationship with God. Tom T. Hall. I'm becoming real musical this morning. Tom T. Hall wrote a song some time ago and sang it often. Me and Jesus got a good thing going. And that's wonderful as far as it goes. Doesn't go far enough. That song went enough for that song, but it's not enough for a theology of life or a way of life. Me and Jesus got a good thing going is only part of the story. Are part of the Christian's responsibility, of the Christian's experience. It's a necessary part. Without Jesus, we're not Christians. Jesus who is the Christ. It's Jesus who saves us. It's Jesus who brings us into fellowship with God. It's Jesus who redeems us from Satan and hell and whatever else is out there. Brings us into the family of God. The necessary part, the most important part of our life as a Christian, knowing Jesus as our personal Savior, but it's still only a part. Living as a Christian includes a relationship between the person who is a Christian, you or me, and other people. And try as you may, and you cannot get around that. If you read more than 3 verses of the Bible, and I say 3, you might find 1 or 2 verses if you take them out of context. But if you read them in context, we're going to find that our life as Christians has to do with us relating to other people. Like it or not. You may not like other people. I knew an old man in El Dorado, Arkansas. He lived down in the dump. And one of our church members met him one day and wanted to go and take some food to him. And his story was that he would go to the grocery stores and gather up the bent cans, they don't sell very well, or the labelless cans, and they would give the food to him, but Mr. Newton wanted to do a little more for him, so we go down and try to make friends with him. He had a little shack there, and he didn't want have much to do with any people at all. I guess you might call him a hermit. He lived alone, but he looked like he was getting enough food. But he just didn't want to relate to other people. I'm not sure he was a happy man. Talk to him a few minutes, you could learn that he had a lot. If he had any happiness, it didn't come through much. He was kind of sad that he didn't have any friend. Living as a Christian includes a relationship between the person and other people. And again, as I said in the beginning, this may be just an affirmation of this congregation. And sometimes maybe the congregation needs to hear that they're doing something good, if they are, when they are. Not that we always got to be doing something better or something more, or always hear how bad we are. My wife has tried to teach me that. Brag on us when we're doing good. So this may be a brag on you sermon. According to what you're doing and how you fit into relating to other people. I think it affirms what we're already doing. Jesus spoke about this when he spoke about the greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment. The guy came to him and said, "What's the greatest commandment, Jesus?" He's trying to trick Jesus. And Jesus knew. I mean, he wasn't about to trick Jesus. Jesus knew it all. He had written it all, right? He had created it all. He had planned it all. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus told him what the greatest one was, but he quickly added what the second greatest was. The first, number one thing in a relationship with God is to love the Lord your God with all your self. Jesus replied to that question, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:37, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, your heart and your mind and your soul, your body. And Jesus said, this is the first and greatest commandment. What we've already said, I've said it in other words. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And it could be that person that lives next door to you. But the guy went on, and who is my neighbor, etc., etc., etc. And it was a foreigner that he was called on to love as himself. The commandments. Four of them talk about our relationship with God. Six of them talk about our relationship with other people. Pretty important. Back when Moses was hearing from God, God told him to tell these people four things in relationship to God. How to relate to Him. Trust in Him. Have no other gods. Bow down before Him. Keep His day holy. And then the last six is be nice to your neighbors. To other people. That's basically what the Ten Commandments are. Love God and be nice to your neighbor. Is that pretty simple? Don't kill them. Don't steal from them. Don't envy their wife or their goods. Don't covet. What's some more? Honor your parents. In living as a Christian, God calls on Christians to love. God calls on Christians to love. And it's spread throughout His Word, but we'll look at Acts chapter 2. The passage we use for our scripture lesson, the first portion. Acts chapter 2. Read verse, you have it there before you, I trust. Read verse 44, I believe it is. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They didn't go off by themselves. They may have gone off by themselves for a time of prayer. Maybe a time of study. You have to get alone by yourself. Jesus did this, but He always came back to relate to other people. Sometimes I say, I need to get away. I need to get away. I'm not, my personality don't lend to that. I like to be around people. And so I find myself not spending enough time away. But I'm in keeping with the Scriptures, part of them at least, when I do get with people. I like people. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And then 45, they sold their possessions and they gave to anyone as he had need. People had need, they helped them out. And then verse 47, well, 46, the last part, they broke bread in their homes and they ate together. Some people will criticize the church for a meeting to eat. They didn't have church buildings. They just, at that time, they had the temple. That wasn't theirs. They were kind of borrowing the temple and or the outer courts, meeting there. That's where the people were. They were witnessing to them. It was a big celebration. A lot of people from the various countries were in town for the big celebration, the celebration of Pentecost. Go back and read Acts chapter 2. They broke bread in their homes, ate together, and were glad, ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And then they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They were not acting in such a manner that they would be offensive to those who had not yet become Christians. They were enjoying the favor, they were affirmation of all the people. Some thought they were drunk. Those were the authorities who were so threatened by Jesus. Said, oh, they're drunk. They said, no, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And nobody drinks before 9 o'clock and gets drunk. That's what that story is. Somebody wrote a song. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. It must be in our country.
And everybody, you can drink, can't drink before 5. Is that right? That doesn't really work for a person who wants a drink. You know, he'll drink any time. They said, these people are drunk. They're talking funny. And it was the Spirit speaking through them. Anyhow, they praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They were relating to people outside of their little fellowship. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And 3,000 were saved in one day. Later it says 5,000 were saved. And I'm not sure, I'm still confused. I hadn't had an answer to this. Hadn't thought too much. Was it 8,000 or 5,000 total? Really doesn't matter. It's a bunch of them. A bunch of people saw the love of these Christians for one another, the support, the help. And they heard the witness of Jesus, and they wanted to be a part of it. They saw it as something special. And they related to other people. Of course, they related to God. And then Peter stood up and preached in this Acts chapter 2. He preached a stinging sermon, if you will. People came and said, what can we do? What can we do? What do we need to do? Acts chapter 2. The rest of the world. The unsaved people around them will know that we are Christians by our love for one another. If we're fighting among ourselves, they'll say, well, what kind of people are they? What kind of people are they? And they won't have time to listen to us. Because sometimes the people in the church act worse than the people outside the church. The call to be a Christian, the responsibility of the Christian life, is a call to brotherly love. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. I like to quote the first three verses, or try to quote the first three verses of Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that just kind of rolls out for me. Holy. And I've got stopped there. Ted, are you there? Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I keep, preachers can say, boy, it's our reasonable service to present our bodies. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, be ye changed by the renewing of your mind. Have a change of mind, because you always thought that way don't mean it's right. Isn't that what that says? Have a change of mind if you've been thinking wrongly. Especially about God and Christ and how you're going to get to heaven. Quit trying to get to heaven on your own efforts. Start thinking that you're going to get to heaven on Jesus' efforts or His work on Calvary, His entire life, but especially His work on Calvary where He paid for your sin. If you've been thinking you're going to earn your way to heaven, it's never going to happen. You need to change your thinking about that by the renewing of your mind. And keep a reading. Do what now? To prove what the will of God is. And then what? Verse 7. Don't think too more high. Verse 3. Don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment, etc., etc., etc. Don't get carried away with your own importance. Is that basically what it says? Oh, boy, we love that one. But what about verse 10? Verse 10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be real. Don't talk one way or act one way in front of other people, and when you're alone, act another way. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. That means don't like what is evil. Cling to what is good. And then verse 10, that was verse 9. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. How do we like to give preference to one another? Do we like to let people in line in front of us? Do we like to let people in line in front of us? El Dorado, Arkansas. A town that was dying, it smelled bad, had two oil refineries, one of them closed. It had two or three chemical plants out in the community, and at night it smelled terrible. Where we lived, there was a all-night mechanic shop that worked on big trucks, and you could hear them dropping. It was close enough you could hear them dropping big wheels off of trucks, you know, the metal rim, and they was clanging, and you could hear the air hammers tightening the lugs on the truck. I guess that's what it was. You could hear all kind of noise pretty close to our house, and we lived a good way from it. It wasn't the best town. The oil was depleted. The oil supply was depleted. They were still trying to pull some more out of the ground. But all the kids that graduated from high school were moving away. Did I kind of describe that right, Miss Carol? Yeah. It was, yeah. One of the had two newspapers, and one of them closed, but that happened in Nashville, too, didn't it? But that was before the paper fell in disfavor, I guess, before the advent of the Internet and all that. Anyhow, but there was something so good about Eldorado, Arkansas. You'd be sitting at a stoplight at a side street wanting to get out into the main drag. And people would stop and honk their horn and get your attention and say, pull on out, pull on out. More times than once, they'd stop and honk their horn and say, pull on out, go ahead of us, because they knew that you're going to be there for a while. So there was something lovely about that town, a lovely spirit of, I prefer you, go ahead. Don't know where they learned this. Then you move, go to another town, and you're expecting people to do this, and they don't do it. You say, well, why won't those people stop? And then if you stop to do that, somebody behind you will honk your horn. But Eldorado, Arkansas was very, very good about that. They would prefer one another. They would prefer others to go ahead of them. Standing in line. Do you like to let others go ahead of you? Not lagging in diligence, be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. What do you do when tribulations come? Lord, get me through this. Lord, I can't stand this. I wish you'd hurry up. We've been through an economic. Have we been through it yet? We're still in an economic downturn in the country, right? Little tribulations for some of us, we think. I haven't gone hungry yet. I need to. Has anybody else gone hungry because of the economic downturn? Anybody gone hungry because of the economic downturn? Anybody in this group had to live on the street? Homeless. Nobody homeless. Patient in tribulation. This too shall pass. It always has. Now, if you're 16 or 13, we don't think it's ever going to pass. We think, oh, it's so bad, you know. But this too shall pass. We who are 50 and above, barely, a lot, we know that this too shall pass. We've been up and down economically before. They talk about the 80s. I can't even remember them. I do remember some friends that had some money then. I remember one church member said to another one, and I just overheard them, I got 17% on a CD today. And I said, a CD? What's that? It wasn't a compact disc because it was before the compact disc, you know. It was a certificate of deposit. Didn't even have one. That passed too. 17% on a CD? That passed too. 0.07. 0.07 now. Anyhow. But patient in tribulation, just continue steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. That's fellow Christians. And then given to hospitality. That's Romans 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. And then there's really that call to put others before you in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, to put others before you do yourself. It says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. How many times have you heard somebody say, we would never do it ourselves, but it's always somebody else. But how many times have you heard somebody say, well, I'm just as good as they are. Have we ever ourselves said, and I don't remember doing it,
they're better than me. How? Consider others better than yourselves. You go ahead. You go in front of me. How many have done that? Can we do that? Each of you should not look to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. You know, loving others and practicing some of these things, we can't do it alone. We're not so made up. We are selfish people. Babies come into the world, you can argue this all day, and I'll keep arguing with you because I can prove it. Look at it. One baby or three babies or 100 babies, they come into the world saying, me, me, me. Right? What? That's me. Give me something. Give me something. I'm hungry. I mean, that's the way it is. That's the way life is. We are not so made to be giving folks, are we? But in Thessalonians, now the Thessalonian church was not the easiest church to deal with. They had some problems. They did. And sometimes other Christians are not easy to deal with. The Thessalonians were Christians. And I've discovered in life, in the church, sometimes other Christians are not easy to deal with. And we must have God's help if we're going to deal with them in a Christian manner. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. If the Lord don't do it, we can't do it. I can't. And sometimes He has to hit me over the head with it. I'm a little stubborn. Not bragging about it, but just confessing. My problem is I'm a little proud of my stubbornness, and I wish I wasn't. Forgive me, Lord. He says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, to those outside the fellowship of the church. As we do to you. That's what Paul's had to seek the Lord's help to love these people at Thessalonica. Some of them, they just quit work and waiting on other people to feed them. And we know what we can say about that situation, right? So that God may establish your hearts. Seek the Lord's help in loving other people. So that the Lord may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. And then also from 1 Thessalonians, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. Now, he wasn't telling them to always do something that they were not doing. He said, you're doing this, but keep up with it. Don't stop it, in other words. You're on the right track. As I said in the beginning, and I've said somewhere after the beginning, that some sermons are to say, go for it. You're doing good. Okay. Welcome strangers. Welcome strangers. You never know when a visitor to your church or a visitor to your neighborhood is an angel that doesn't look like an angel. Or you might not know what an angel looks like. So we have a first-time guest this morning. Jerry may be an angel. We don't know. Loving others is one way that we can use the gifts that God has given us. Loving others is one way that we can use the gifts that God has given us. Time runs out, but does anybody know the song, Lean on Me? It's on TV now recently with a Brawny commercial. I was talking to Carol about it. Wanted to use it today. And do you say, lo and behold? Is that because of lo and behold? A Brawny commercial came on with Lean on Me. I don't know how that fits. I didn't listen to the commercial. Didn't know what it was saying. But sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we always know that there is tomorrow. So lean on me. When you are not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. A Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling us to be your people, to be of service, to express love to other people. Thank you for letting us be a part of your kingdom, for sending Jesus to redeem us from sin and selfishness and all that is evil. And help us to, Lord, just live under your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. 284, they'll know that we're Christians by our love. By our love. They'll know that we're Christians by our love. I won't express an invitation, but you know, if you have a public response to make, this is the time to make it. The folks' private responses. What God is saying to you, that's important. Respond to Him.
Praise to the Father, from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one, and they'll know we are Christians by our love.